you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here, we're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 4.
Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.'" That was Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 4.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 24th, finally Friday, 2025. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm Mark Burns, and today we're diving into one of Jesus' powerful parables, the parable of the wedding banquet from Matthew 22, verse 1 through 14. It's a story that reminds us both of the grace of God's invitation and the urgency of us being ready. Our guest today is Pastor Rick Mulkins of First Baptist Church Springfield, and he's filling in for Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church. Pastor Rick will help us unpack this remarkable passage and reflect on Jesus' words, "Many are invited, but few are chosen." We'll talk about what it means to accept God's invitation, how to prepare our hearts for the Lord's return, and what it looks like to live ready in these days. So grab your Bible and let's get started. And for those of you that are tuned in and you're saying, "Well, who is Pastor Rick Mulkins?" Well, if you tuned in on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I had him for Testimony Tuesday, so you heard some of his faith journey, life story, some of his love story to the lovely Deanne. So that's archived, and you can listen to that at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. But Pastor Rick, I appreciate you carving out time and being available, and you have a passion for Matthew chapter 22. Oh, well, actually for all of God's word, but
absolutely
for this parable. But for the listener that didn't tune in on Tuesday, or maybe for some of the guests here in the studio, give us a little snapshot or thumbnail of who you are or what drives you to serve God's kingdom.
Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me to come here today. It's actually been an honor and a privilege on my end, and I hope it's the same for you all. As you had said, Mark, I've been pastoring Springfield First Baptist Church for about 4 years now. But again, I've been pastoring for some 35 years, okay, but just 4 years at that location. I'm like you all. I think all of us here have a heart for the Lord, and I always tell our people at the church, you need to remain hungry. Be hungry for the Word of God, because it's the only thing that can ever satisfy.
And I know you did a number of shout-outs for Deanne
absolutely
on Tuesday, but say something about her again.
Oh, golly, we just celebrated 48 years. Can you believe it? So I'm kind of old. I might look younger, but I'm kind of old. She has really been a great help for me through all the years. Honestly, I've heard the quote before. It says, "Behind every exhausting wife is a successful man." So, yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she has helped me a lot. So I really kind of feel a little bit off today because normally she's sitting to my left. But, yeah, we've had a lot of good experiences together.
Yeah, and I had you in the studio a year or two back.
Yeah, it's been a little
long
while.
But I always thought you could be a go-to. You're on my short list, and when Pastor Mark wasn't available, you were the first one I called. I mean, there's many capable wonderful pastors, but I delighted in the time you and your wife, and I thought they could have their own little morning program.
Yeah, because we kind of feed off one another, her and I. Yeah. So she's got a lot of great insight. So, you know, it's a true blessing.
Well, why the wedding banquet of all the parables you could have chose?
You know, it's really one of the greatest stories to me in the Bible. Of course, it's not the greatest, but it's one of them, because it's telling people like you and I, us as believers, to be ready. There's a ceremony that's going to take place. And before I get any further in that, I got to let you know also, my granddaughter and Justin are getting married this coming Sunday. So I'm going to be officiating that. So it kind of goes right along with the wedding banquet. But to me, it's just a beautiful illustration how God loves his people, and he's trying to invite everyone to the banquet. And so with that said, we have a responsibility to proclaim the word of the Lord. And us here today, that's exactly what we're doing.
And so for the listener, there's like an invitation to the banquet.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
So what's the picture that Jesus is portraying?
We see in the passage of Scripture here that Jesus is the groom and the bride is the church. And he's putting out invitations everywhere throughout the world, letting people know that the banquet hall is ready, is prepared. He's invited everyone to come. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But that's where we come in. Our job, according to Matthew 28:19, is to proclaim the word of the Lord. To go, that's the Great Commission. Tell people about Jesus Christ. So when I look at this, it should just fire us up that God is doing all this for us. He paid the price in full, and all we got to do is show up. Give the RSVP and show up.
Why are so many people refusing the invitation, do you think?
That's a good question. Now, let me share with you, because Thursday night in our Bible study, my son Ricky came to our Bible study, and one thing he shared with me, and I thought he was spot on, he said that one of the greatest tools that our enemy uses is procrastination, putting things off. We've got time. We can do it later. And what happens is we get so distracted that we mean to do good, but we're just busy dealing with everyday life, with work and family. And I can say that with my son. He's got 10 children. I can understand with them. But that's really what happens. We procrastinate, and we just find ourselves not taking time to do it.
I wonder another thing, and I can't think of the word, but there's so many options and things that we can do. They compete for our attention or our allegiance.
Yes,
we kind of get smothered with... I can't think of what the word is.
You get distracted.
Distracted.
Yeah, that's it. That's a distraction. Yeah. And, I mean, we're all busy. You know, and we have to take time. We have to take time to read the word of the Lord. We have to take time to pray. There are certain things we must take time to do. Because if not, time will get away. And before you know it, the day's over.
But the other thing is, it's so simple that too many people don't believe it.
That's unfortunate.
And
you're right.
It's free also. They think they have to work for it.
Yeah, so, they don't. Yeah. So that's a good point. It's absolutely free. And that's why the Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 2:9 that it's not about our works.
Right.
It's a free gift. And it doesn't matter how much education you have or lack thereof or how much money you have or lack thereof. It's a free gift. And Jesus is inviting all of us to come.
And I think another reason that comes to my mind is I'm studying Psalm 38 and 39 in my Bible class this morning. And in either one of those chapters, I can't remember, David is asking the Lord to help me number my days.
Yes.
So, and also in Scripture, in Psalm, it talks about maybe 70 we all have. Maybe if we're lucky, 10 more. We might be 80.
Yeah, 70 or 80 if you have the strength.
Yes, if you have the strength.
Yes.
But all those days will be filled with pain and sorrow.
Yes.
And that's where we claim the promise of God that he will always be with us.
Absolutely.
And help us to discern our choices during our days and make the best.
Make the best choice. Absolutely.
Now, the Lord's return is imminent.
Yes.
And so there's some mystery. You know, many of us have seen that old guy with the beard and the sign, you know, doom is near around the corner.
Exactly.
Prepare. But shouldn't there be a readiness or an anticipation that it really could happen every day, even though we kind of procrastinate or put it off?
You're absolutely right, because the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, it tells us to be ready and stay ready. Unfortunately, there again, some people get ready, but because it seems like the Lord is slack in coming, they kind of drop the ball on themselves, really. But yes, so you're right. We need to get ready and we need to stay ready. It's very important.
Now, Bernie, I know you have some thoughts on this.
Oh, I know, Bernie. I'm looking over at Bernie.
Yeah, because he's engaged.
He's wanting to chew on this, I can tell.
And he does so much community-wise, so he's like, time is precious. Last testimony Tuesday, it was Pastor Herbert Bennett, and he says, I was so careless doing many wrong things for so many years. I want to make these last years really meaningful. But you also are that way, Bernie, because you're intentional and you have your hands in a lot of things that will help people understand who Jesus is. Why so passionate?
Several years ago, I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, and the president at the time was speaking on legacy and Apostle Paul's final words in 2 Timothy 4:7. And it struck a note with me, because what would my legacy be? And I've been doing a lot of pulpit supply in recent weeks in different churches and been preaching on legacy. because at any moment's notice, we could be standing before the Lord tonight, tomorrow morning, and if he said, why should I let you into my heaven, what would your answer be? We have to be ready. We have to be prayed up. We have to be repented of our sins and accepted him as Lord of our lives. No matter where we are, no matter the circumstances, and we always live above the circumstances, not under, because he's there for us. We always have to live from the point of from victory, not trying to win the victory. He already won that. Mm-hmm. And the legacy that we have in Christ fires me up, because time is short, too many people are lost, and we have to reach them.
Amen.
And Pastor Rick is the same thing. He speaks it everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were saying that, another word came to my mind. It's anticipation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We must anticipate the arrival of the Lord. We need to be looking for that. I remember, maybe some of you know where I'm going with this, but I remember years ago when I first got saved, it felt like the hairs on the back of my neck would stand. It was like Jesus was coming back that night. I was so excited. But that's the way that we're supposed to live every day, looking and longing for his return.
Mm-hmm. Being a pastor at a Baptist church,
yes,
there's usually a very intentionality on even an altar call before the service ends,
yes,
because you just never know who
never know.
May not have their faith journey,
yes,
at the point where they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So maybe as a pause here, somebody's tuning in, they're driving to work, and they're like, well, they're talking about Jesus as Savior. I don't have that in my life. I don't know what it is to talk with God. What would be a way for them to connect with Jesus, maybe even today, maybe even right now?
That's a good point. And let me share with this, and I know a lot of our listeners probably do not know this, but my wife and I, we kind of grew up in the Southern Baptist Church in Riverton. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of bad for me to say this, but I spent 10 years in a church. And I mean, I heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and I never repented of my sins. Hmm. I never really felt to cry out to God for salvation. Now, most people in my church at that time probably thought I was saved. I looked the part, I knew the scriptures, but I never received Christ into my heart until February 11th of 1994, that experience truly happened. So what I would say to the people is this: time is short. And some of you may be sitting in your office or your kitchen or wherever you are, driving your car, but the brevity of life is true. If we do not receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then there's consequences for that. And of course, we know the consequence. It's hell. It's really not being with the Lord.
You will not be at the wedding banquet.
Yeah, exactly. You won't be at the wedding banquet. So that's the urgency. So I give an altar call every Sunday. Some people don't. Some churches don't. I do. Because you know why? There may be a Rick out there just like I was, and he may look the part, he may talk the part, but he's not the part. And so he has an opportunity to come to the altar and get saved.
Well, I'm just thinking there's maybe somebody driving to work right now.
Yeah,
like we talk about asking Jesus into our heart or receiving him.
Yes.
But how would somebody practically do that? What does it mean to ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior?
Well, actually, if you look at Scripture, it gives us the pattern, and that's found in the book of Acts. And it tells the people to repent of their sin and turn toward God. I think it's in Acts 2:38 where Peter's given the conversation. And he tells the people to repent of your sin and turn toward God. He said you used to be an untoward generation. Now you need to do a 180 and turn toward God. So what I would tell the person to do is truly repent of their sin. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of that. Mm-hmm. And then believe on him. Trust on him. Believe his word. And just begin to walk that way every day. And I know that we as humans, we mess up, we're frail, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, we must continue to keep him first and foremost in our life. Then I would encourage him to get into a Bible study.
Listening friend, if that's you, maybe there's a stirring in your heart, and
yes,
maybe there's an openness to the reality that you have fallen short. We all have. We sin. We miss the mark. But God is a loving God. He's very intentional, and he may have made this divine appointment for you to be tuning in at this very minute to hear this message. And so if you're like, well, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, I mean, you can do that very simply.
Absolutely.
Go over to the side,
yes,
of the road if you're driving or whatever you're doing. Just pause and say, God, I recognize I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I ask him into my heart. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. And get yourself into a good church this Sunday,
Amen.
Or find a person that follows Jesus and ask them more questions. Yeah. Or you can even call this 800 number. It's 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. There's trained counselors. They'll answer your questions about how you can trust the Bible, how you can develop that relationship with God, how you can know Jesus, and they'll even pray for you. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, Amen. The wedding banquet, those of us that are anticipatory, looking forward to Jesus' return,
yes.
we should be living an exciting life, right?
Absolutely.
But it doesn't always seem to happen.
Yeah. I mean, we are living in a painful world, and unfortunately, we get distracted as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm reminded, too, there's a scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, where it says that Jesus wishes that no man would perish. That's why he's extending the invitation to all four corners of the earth. He's wanting everybody to come, from the highways to the byways and everything in between. He wants them to be at that banquet.
In this parable, Pastor Rick,
yes.
what was the big mistake that the five foolish virgins or whatever?
Their oil. They let the oil out of their lamp. They weren't ready.
And why and how can somebody do that now?
Yeah.
Looking at that parable, switch that and say, well, that could be me.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do I make it right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you are a true believer,
yeah.
okay, and God knows we make error, but if you are a true believer and your heart is bent toward Jesus, he sees all these things that we go through. But there are people out there, unfortunately, that have not truly surrendered their heart. They're like the five virgins where let the oil run out of their lamp, and they just weren't ready. Mm. And because of that, time overtook them. And of course, we know the consequences of that.
Right.
But again, I think the urgency, like you're saying, Bernie, is people need to come to Jesus. And like you said also before, that people don't believe it. They don't understand it, you know, but we take the Bible to be true. And God's word is inspired. It's sacred text. And I believe that every word in the Bible is absolutely true. And I take it by faith.
Yeah.
I can't always explain it. I tell our people in our church, I don't always have all the answers. I've been studying God's word for 35 years. I don't have all the answers, but I believe God's word to be true.
And what I always tell people is if they don't believe it, read it and then ask God to reveal himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
He will reveal himself to you.
He will. And a good book to start in is the book of John, because it talks a lot about Jesus Christ and what he done here on earth.
Amen.
Yeah.
How about this difficult portion? I don't know if it's difficult, but many are invited, but few are chosen.
Yeah.
What does that all mean?
Again, we look at the invitations going to everyone, but the few that are chosen, those are the ones that were sincere. Those are the ones that took the word by faith and began to move in that direction. It's the ones that did not say, you know, I'm going to just put this away. It's the ones that really followed, that chased after the Lord. And that's really what we all have to do. We all have to do. We have to just keep trusting in the Lord and moving forward with him. So go ahead, Liz. I know you got something to say. Go ahead.
I do.
I know you do. I can see it.
It reminds me of in one of C.S. Lewis's books.
Yes.
That one of Satan's biggest tools is distraction.
Yes.
Take our eyes off of our Lord just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Lower them. That's what he did in the garden.
Yes, absolutely.
And unfortunately, because of our carnal nature, it works.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yes.
And I believe that the Lord calls all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's those few that will let the Holy Spirit work in their lives.
That's it.
And accept his invitation.
And accept it. They have to RSVP back. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. That's good. Yeah.
Now, Pastor Rick, somebody's driving to work. I don't know. They're driving wherever.
They're
not everyone's
somewhere.
Always working. But
yeah,
they're thinking to themselves or wondering, I wonder if I'm chosen. So how would you help them maybe determine that?
Okay. Again, I think if they truly repented of their sin and put faith in Jesus Christ, they are the chosen ones.
Yeah.
They are the ones. And that's all they have to do is continue to go forward in the Lord. And that's why it's so important for all of us to remain reading the Word of God. I've talked with people so many times, Garland, that, you know, they said, I haven't read my Bible for years. I talked to a deacon one time who confessed to me he hadn't read his Bible for a long, long, long time. That should not be. We need to be in the Word of God because God's Word is alive. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And if we really get in tune with the Lord, he speaks to us. Even today, he speaks.
What about somebody who says, I don't feel chosen because I've been so, done so many bad things, God doesn't love me, can't forgive me.
It doesn't matter. The Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how much or how little. You've been tainted because you came into this world. And the Bible says that also in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. But it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So some person may say, well, I did this and I've done that. I'm just as guilty. Mm-hmm. I broke all 10 commandments. But you know what? I turn and I put my faith in Christ. So that's what we need to do.
Now, for someone who's chosen,
yes.
The faith is still, that doesn't just make faith automatic and easy, does it?
No, absolutely not. No, because the Bible also says in John, he said, in this world you have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. So if he's an overcomer and we're in him, that sounds to me like we're overcomers. Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
You know those patterns of three where you read it in a book, you hear a message on the radio, and a friend's talking about.
Exactly.
But God's grace, his unmerited favor,
mm-hmm.
we can't earn our way into heaven.
You cannot.
We can't balance the scales and do more good than bad, or so we show up and donate and are good people. That's not what gets us into heaven. It's God's grace that's extended to all of us. None of us can earn it. And so as you search out God's love for you today, you're going to realize he does care. He created you. You're not just a happenstance that showed up one day. God has a plan and purpose to be realized through your life. And it begins with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then growing in that sanctification, that process
Absolutely.
Throughout all of life. Wow, what a great reminder from Matthew chapter 22. God's invitation to his kingdom. It's wide open. But it calls for a response from each and every one of us. Jesus isn't just telling a story about a banquet. He's describing eternity and the urgency of being ready for his return.
Absolutely.
As Pastor Rick
Amen.
Said today, the Lord's return is imminent, listening friend.
Yes.
And this is no time for casual faith. Let's be intentional. Let's share with those around us as we go, wherever we go, that good news message of Jesus. And if you've never accepted the invitation, or if you've drifted away, today's a great day to say yes to the King who's calling
absolutely.
You by
yes,
name.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, listening friend, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by WLUJ.org or GreatNewsRadio.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Rick Mulkins, in a room of friends with
Amen.
The Ministry of Great News Media.
Thank you.
God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.